Track 9, Celebrity Spotlight. Who's in the spotlight today? Well, it's one very big celebrity indeed, and here's Maggie to tell us all about him. It's Elvis, of course.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. Now people, don't you understand? The child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. I take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way?
Elvis Aaron Presley was born to Vernon and Gladys Presley in a two-room house in Tupelo, Mississippi, on January the 8th, 1935. His twin brother, Jesse Garron, was stillborn, leaving Elvis to grow up as an only child. He and his parents moved to Memphis, Tennessee in 1948, and Elvis graduated from Humes High School there in 1953. Elvis's musical influences were the pop and country music of the time, the gospel music he heard in church, and the all-night gospel sings he frequently attended, and the black R&B he absorbed on historic Beale Street as a Memphis teenager.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art,
how great thou art.
Then sings
his first public performance was a singing contest at the Mississippi-Alabama Fair and Dairy Show on October the 3rd, 1945, when he was 10. He sang Old Shep and recalled placing fifth. A few months later, Presley received his first guitar for his birthday. He received guitar lessons from two uncles and a pastor at the family's church. Presley recalled, "I took the guitar and I watched people, and I learnt to play a little bit, but I would never sing in public. I was very shy about it." In August 1953, Presley checked into Memphis Recording Service, the company run by Sam Phillips, before he started Sun Records. He aimed to pay for studio time to record a two-sided acetate disc, My Happiness, and That's Where Your Heartaches Begin. He later claimed that he intended the record as a birthday gift for his mother. In 1954, Elvis began his singing career with the legendary Sun Records label in Memphis. In late 1955, his recording contract was sold to RCA Victor. Around this time, Elvis was signed to Colonel Tom Parker, one of the best promoters in the country, and by 1956, he was an international sensation.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine.
The audience response at Presley's live shows became increasingly fevered. Guitarist Moore recalled he'd start out, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog," and they'd just go to pieces. They'd always react in the same way. There'd be a riot every time. His first motion picture, Love Me Tender, was released on November the 21st. Though he was not top billed, the film's original title, The Reno Brothers, was changed to capitalise on his latest number one record, Love Me Tender, that had hit the top of the charts earlier that month. To further take advantage of Presley's popularity, four musical numbers were added to what was originally a straight acting role. The film was panned by critics, but did very well at the box office. Presley received top billing on every subsequent film he made.
Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and
Presley purchased his 18-room mansion, Graceland, on March the 19th, 1957. In his follow-up film, Loving You, Elvis played a delivery man who is discovered by a music publicist. But it was the next film that blasted him into rock and roll fame.
Swing, you should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock, everybody, let it rock. Everybody in a old cell block was dancing to the jail out rock.
Despite its tough story of delinquency and drunkenness, or perhaps because of it, the film took some $4 million at the box office. The film initially earned mixed reviews, with much of the negative targeted at the unpleasant personality of the character played by Presley. The release was also somewhat overshadowed by the tragic highway death of leading lady Judy Tyler shortly after the film's completion. Presley reportedly was so devastated by Tyler's death that he never watched the film or discussed it. On December the 20th, Presley received his draft notice, though he was granted a deferment to finish the forthcoming film, King Creole. On March 24th, 1958, Presley was drafted into the United States Army at Fort Chaffee in Arkansas. His arrival was a major media event. Hundreds of people descended on Presley as he stepped from the bus. Photographers accompanied him into the installation. Presley announced that he was looking forward to his military service, saying that he did not want to be treated any differently from anyone else. In early August, Presley's mother was diagnosed with hepatitis, and her condition rapidly worsened. Presley was granted emergency leave to visit her and arrive in Memphis on August 12th. 2 days later, she died of heart failure at age 46. Presley was devastated and never the same. Their relationship had remained extremely close. Even into his adulthood, they would use baby talk with each other, and Presley would address her with pet names.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind.
Stationed in West Germany, he was promoted to private first class, and while on manoeuvres, the 24-year-old Presley was introduced to amphetamines and became practically evangelical about their benefits, not only for energy but for strength and weight loss. He also met 14-year-old Priscilla Bewley. They married after a 7.5-year courtship. In her autobiography, Priscilla said that Presley was concerned that his 24 months in the military would ruin his career. Presley returned to the US on March the 2nd, 1960, and was honourably discharged 3 days later. The train that carried him from New Jersey to Tennessee was mobbed all the way, and Presley was called upon to appear at scheduled stops to please his fans. He returned to recording new songs immediately, and a slew of instantly recognisable Elvis classics were released. It's Now or Never, Are You Lonesome Tonight, and his version of Peggy Lee's Fever. Parker had by now pushed Presley into a heavy filmmaking schedule focused on the formulaic, modestly budgeted musical comedies. Presley initially insisted on pursuing higher roles, but when two films, in a more dramatic vein, Flaming Star 1960 and Wild in the Country 1961, were less commercially successful, he reverted to the formula. Among the 27 films he made during the 1960s, there were a few further exceptions. His films were almost universally panned. Critic Andrew Kane dismissed them as a pantheon of bad taste. Nonetheless, they were virtually all profitable. Hal Wallace, who produced Nine, declared, "A Presley picture is the only sure thing in Hollywood." His records, too, were not hitting the big time as they once had. Something needed to change.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why?
Recorded in late June in Burbank, California, the 68 Comeback Special was a television special that featured lavishly staged studio productions, as well as songs performed with a band in front of a small audience. Presley's first live performances since 1961. The live segments saw Presley dressed in tight black leather, singing and playing guitar in an uninhibited style, reminiscent of his early rock and roll days. A new icon was born. With 42% of American television audiences tuned in, Elvis had been reborn. As a critic at the time wrote, "There's something magical about watching a man who has lost himself find his way back home." With a sound and style that uniquely combined his diverse musical influences and blurred and challenged the social and racial barriers of the time, he ushered a whole new era of American music and popular culture.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die.
Elvis and Priscilla divorced in 1973, but still lived together for the sake of their daughter Lisa. Presley felt that by getting drugs from a doctor, he wasn't the common everyday junkie getting something off the street. His prescription drug use was to be the undoing of the biggest star in the world of entertainment. A packed schedule of live performances and studio recording didn't help, and by early 1977, Presley had become a grotesque caricature of his sleek, energetic former self. Grossly overweight, his mind dulled by the pharmacopoeia he daily ingested, he was barely able to pull himself through his abbreviated concerts. On August 16th, 1977, Elvis was found unresponsive on the bathroom floor of Graceland. He was pronounced dead at the age of just 42. His talent, good looks, sensuality, charisma, and good humour endeared him to millions, as did the humility and human kindness he demonstrated throughout his life. Known the world over by his first name, he is regarded as one of the most important figures of the 20th century popular culture. The legend of Elvis Presley has continued to grow. President Jimmy Carter remarked on Presley's legacy in 1977, "His music and his personality fusing the styles of white country and black rhythm and blues, permanently changed the face of American popular culture.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Holy glory, hallelujah. Holy glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching.
Thank you, Maggie. That's quite a story. And it's always good to hear that voice, isn't it?